Welcome to Aspire. I'm your host, Gregory Penn. It is a beautiful Saturday morning, February the 28th, 2015, and I'm very grateful to be with you. I am honored to be with you, actually. I have some wonderful questions that some very kind and thoughtful people have offered to us. And if you ever have questions about your spiritual practice or what it is or your life in general and what it might be, please feel free to come to the website at aspire.org, aspire.org. You go to the top, you will see contact. Just click on it and ask any question you would like. If you want me to withhold your name, I will. If you want me to withhold where you're listening to me from, I will. It is no problemo. I would just love to have your question, whatever it is. It's going on within you is very important to me, and I will try to answer it with all of my heart, my soul, my strength. I want to remind you that this radio program is supported solely and entirely upon sponsors who have come into your life, believe it or not, in their very generous way and made this radio program possible to air. And without their support and their kindness, you would not be listening to this radio program. And I hope one day some of you listening will see the value of this. Maybe help us too. It would be an honor. Let us go to the first question. This comes from John, and he says just that he listens to me from California. Why am I nothing but a slew of habits, as you talk about on your radio programs? Everything is nothing more than something I do because I have to. I live in a routine manner. Why can't I break this cycle? It seems impossible. John. John, you are right. As long as I live emotionally, as long as I live in my emotionality, I am going to live in the confinement of everything. I will see everything as a matter of me living in a routine. And I will just live routinely. I have routines. Every Monday, every Tuesday, I make radio programs and podcasts and videocasts and work on my commentary. I make my bed. I vacuum my home. I clean my bathroom. I dust. I do a lot of things that look routine. And if you get caught up in the idea of routine, if all you can do is live in a routine, it is because you and I are living emotionally. It isn't the things we do that make it appear to be routine. It is not that. Not that at all. What makes it routine and what makes it laborious and difficult is my connection to my emotional nature, my emotionality. And when my thoughts reflect this emotionality, then everything becomes a boring. This is why people who live highly in their emotions and passions find it very difficult to live their life without some kind of multiple sense of gratification, always having to do something, go somewhere, and have something to do. They cannot just sit there in their life and be quiet and listen to the sound of one hand clapping, listen to the sound of spring, listen to the sound of fall and winter and summer. They just can't do it. If you read my commentary on shocking, John, you would know. You would absolutely understand. This commentary was shocking. And I invite you to go and read it and listen to what I have to say about being alone with ourselves. It comes from an NPR broadcast that I heard. It's very powerful. Can't be alone with ourselves. And because we're always in this emotionality, we have to keep moving and moving and moving. And people get bored with what they have to do to sustain their business, their home, their livelihood, their children even. And it gets pretty selfish as we go down the line here. So what can I say to you? You're dealing with your emotionality, and I'll tell you what you're really dealing with, and you're not going to like me very much after I say this, but I say it with all compassion, really, I do. You are suffering from the emotions of selfishness. It is because you can't have what you want or do what you want to do because you have made decisions like all of us to survive, or a decision to buy a home, or a decision to have this or that. Everything requires maintenance. Everything requires some kind of care. And we want to live carefree. You can't live carefree and awaken. If you are going to awaken ever, if you're ever going to see the bigger picture and the meaning of your life, you're going to have to come to some place inside your living where you can recognize what it means to live mindfully in compassion. Because it is only in compassion that we find the meaning of our life and what is really contained in the meaning of our life. To live carefree, just to live whimsical, without any sense of responsibility, without any sense of, shall we say, being tethered to the opportunity of doing what we do, chopping wood, carrying water, and doing it with a sense of openness, a sense of gratitude, a sense of spaciousness, then we have nothing. We are here to chop wood and carry water. A man came to a Zen master years and years after the master's enlightenment and said, "What is it that you do all day? What is it that you are doing? What is your day like? What were you like before you became enlightened?" The master looked at him and said, "Before I awakened, I used to chop wood and carry water for my master." The student looked at him and said, "Now what do you do?" Thinking that there would be something brand new, something amazing. The master said, "I chop wood and carry water for my master." The man said, "I do not understand. I don't get it. Before your enlightenment, you chopped wood and carried water. After your enlightenment, you chopped wood and carried water. What is the difference?" "I see no difference." The master looked at him and said, "Before my awakening, I would chop wood and carry water, and I would resent it. It was a chore, something I had to do. But now, when I chop wood and carry water, I see the beauty in the act. I see the beauty in the spaciousness of it. I see the beauty in the wood. Every act is sacred, and I do everything sacredly because I realize the sacredness of movement, of everything that I do. Now, I chop wood and carry water for my master still. But now, I am not carrying it. It is no longer a chore. You see, the difference is love. Before he chopped wood and carried water, he did it as a chore because he wanted to show his master he loved him. After his awakening, he realized, I don't show him my love by doing this. I am the love that is doing this. That's how you break routine. It isn't the things you do and changing up the things you do. It is the love that is present in everything that I do and that you do. If you saw my day, John, you would probably be amazed at the many things that I do that would look routine to you. But not one of them is routine. Everything is done with a sense of the sacredness of it. This radio program, I've done thousands of radio programs. Thousands in my career. I have done a few hundred TV programs in my day, too. And none of them are routine. I have counseled hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people. None of them are routine either. Every one of them is sacred. This radio program is sacred. This might be the last radio program I ever do. Who knows? And if it were, and if it is, what do I want to say? What do I want to convey to you? What do I really want to share with you? It matters. So do everything, John, with a sense of sacredness. Everything that you touch and how you touch it transforms into your karma, your life, the way you live your life. And should you want to live your life in compassion and loving kindness, it will change everything about your living. Much will happen. Be patient, dear one. Do everything with a sense of totality. Chop wood, carry water. Please forgive me. Namaste. For years and years, I know this is going to sound terrible, but I'm terrible, and you probably, if you're listening to me, you know I am. For years and years and years, I have watched women after they've raised their children and do all the things they do, want to get away or travel a lot. It's just natural in them. And I never could understand it until, believe it or not, the last 15 years of my life. Because women live so passionately and so emotionally, they get bored very quickly. They need constant stimulus. Men too. But men don't do it like women. We men, we're much more, I'll stay at home and be a slug. And that's our emotionality. It's no different. We're always looking for that change of scenery, you know, trying to find something to stimulate us emotionally, because we have dedicated our whole life to the passion of emotion. It's ugly. And that's what we do. We never mature out of it, which is why the world is the way the world is in so many ways. Trying to escape ourselves through emotionality. Not a good thing. Next question comes from Ty in Colorado. He listens to us. I hear you every week. I listen to you on your radio shows and your TV shows, which I like very much. They seem to show me how dead I am. At times, it can be very depressing. Can I wake up? Ty, I do not know you at all. I do not know your capacity, your aptitude for inner work, for spirituality. Everybody has an aptitude for mediocrity. That is for sure. I see that all the time. Mediocrity runs the gamut. But whether or not you have that space in you and that ability in you to go beyond your mediocrity into love, I do not know. So I'm going to give this a general treatise. Everyone, even the most difficult dullard, has the opportunity and the chance and the capability to come into love, to come into the meaning of life, to truly work upon themselves, to wake up. Everyone has it. Why some people do it and others do not has a lot to do with many things. And that is basically their relationship to their emotionality. It is emotions that drive people to do ugly things. It is emotions that drive people to think that they know when they don't, to do very, very painful acts, killing, cheating, lying, stealing. This is all about my emotionality and yours. So you're beginning to see the kind of person you have become through your emotionality. And that is a good thing. But you have to see it for yourself. You cannot take my word for it. You have to see this for yourself. You have to understand what kind of person you have become by being so emotional and the way you are in your emotionality. Now, every one of us, including myself, has to deal with this one way or another. It does not go away because I say it goes away. I have to do self-observation, watch and see. See what has killed me or what is killing you. What is killing you? What is destroying you? What part of you so frustrates you, so hurts you, that you cannot come to terms with it and deal with it as love? What has happened to you? Just look. Don't change anything. Just look, observe, and see. See what is happening within you. What emotions make you sad? What emotions make you glad? Just start jotting them down, trying to look at them. What is it that freezes you and keeps you from moving forward? What fear do you face constantly, day in, day out, that you don't recognize or that you don't seem to understand? Until we recognize what it is we are doing to ourselves, all we have is what we do to ourselves. The object of the practice is to liberate. Not to consolidate my fears and my angers, but to liberate. And that means whatever it is that is bugging you on the inside, whatever it is that is trying to get out, meaning your love, meaning your soul, meaning your heart, let it out. Don't fight with it. Don't be a coward in it because you're afraid of what other people are going to think of you. Do you know how many times I have sat in the counseling chair with people and students, and they get to the brink, the very edge of taking the leap into love, the leap into life, the leap into beauty, but they don't take it. Because they know it would destroy maybe this or that in their life. They also tell me, well, I won't be able to earn a living. I won't be able to relate to people. That's horse manure. Absolute horse manure. That's the rationalization of the mind, protecting our emotionality. And when your emotionality is being guarded by the precepts of your own thoughts and the aptitude of your own mental capacity, then you may know you're in trouble because you will never go forward. You can go forward. I can go forward. Anyone can. We were never held back. Nothing is holding you. The only thing that holds us to where we are is our belief in what we are, that we are merely a mammal, that we are merely just a person who is trying to get through our life and not really let life live you, let love live you. Don't be one of those people, Ty, that just wants to get through life. It's not a good thing to do that. The most blessed thing you can do is live through love, to let love live you. Ty, you can wake up. You ask me, can I wake up? Oh, absolutely, you can wake up. Anyone listening to my voice can wake up. The trouble will be if you do wake up. if you do choose to awaken, you will have to leave behind your sadness and your sorrow, of which many people make a whole lifestyle out of. And believe it or not, people love to be miserable. They just love to be miserable. It's everything. Please forgive me. Namaste. You know, we're always fighting our genetics one way or another. There's the DNA, which is the basic part of us, the survivor, you know, natural selection, kind of Darwinian thing. And then you've got your own personal genetics, which comes and is derived from your mother and father and grandparents and all that other stuff. There's a lot going on in the body. It really is. The body is a beautiful organism as a mechanism. It's amazing. It's beautiful. It does many things. But the genetics that are contained in my DNA, if I follow it, if I live in it, will do nothing to serve my higher causes, my more loving causes. And you just want to be able to kind of step aside from that. And that's what an authentic practice is, stepping aside from the genetics and the DNA and the cellular memory and the pain body and all that other stuff, and being willing to resonate into life as love, just to be love itself. The last question comes from Linda in San Diego. What can I do to help people see, to realize? What can I do to help my family understand and realize? Linda. Linda, I am going to assume, make an ass of myself here, that what you mean by realize is to realize who and what they truly are, to realize the beauty of them, to realize the authenticity. I go back and bow to Mahatma Gandhi, who said we must be the change we wish to see in this world. If you want your family and your friends to realize, if you really want to help humankind, then be the change you wish to see in this world. Be the change you want them to see. If they need more love, then be more loving. If they need more forgiveness, be more forgiving. If they need compassion, be more compassionate. If they need more heart, live more heartfelt. Don't live as a person who is looking at them as though they are different from yourself. I don't consider anyone different than me. No one. It wouldn't matter who they are. From Charles Manson to Gautama Buddha, we are all in there somewhere, in between and the extreme. And the only thing that separates us from, let's say, a Charlie Manson, a Adolf Hitler, and Mahatma Gandhi, or Buddha, Jesus, Lao Tzu, is one thing and one thing alone. And that is where we place our attentions. If you place your attention upon your emotionality, you're going to live emotionally and you're going to suffer from that emotionality. And it is going to precede you in everything that you do, and it will be the thing that you concede to in your life, and it will tear your life apart. The object of the effort in a spiritual practice is to let love live you and to be able to sustain that love, not through the aptitude of, let's say, your humanity and your genetics, but through your heart, your authentic heart, not your emotional heart, the authentic heart that lives within you. That authentic heart that beats for compassion and love. At times, this means that we're going to have to go through humiliation, humbleness, where we're going to be able to look at our life from the point of view of a humility that allows us to exceed beyond our ideas and our ideals of right and wrong, good and bad. So, Linda, if you want to truly help humankind, then develop yourself spiritually. Give up trying to convince your human side that it is spiritual. Just give it up because it isn't going to work. Give up the idea of moralizing your human side and moralizing your family and telling them they should do this and not that, because that isn't going to help either. Genetics and DNA will persist. No, if you really want to change your friends, then you must be the change. You must transform. You must come to that place of love, of great love, and want nothing with all of your heart. Yes, to want nothing with all of your heart. Thank you, Linda. Please forgive me. Namaste. If you have a comment or question, something, please come to the website here at aspire.org. Go up to the top of the page. You'll see contact. I would love to hear from you. I really would. Again, I want to thank my sponsors for their generosity and kindness that affords me the blessing of serving humankind in this way. Please forgive me, eh? Namaste.